Look at several verses tonight, continuing what we started a couple weeks ago, looking at the life of Paul. There's a lot we can learn by examining the life of the Apostle Paul, sort of a super Christian, if you will, a man who walked with the Lord, loved the Lord with his whole heart. Last time we saw the man he was before his conversion. Paul was a man of pedigree. He was a super conservative, zealous, intelligent, religious, available, dedicated individual. And while he was all of that, he was lost. He was lost. He was perhaps more hopeless than most because he had absorbed the lies that were taught him in Jewish custom and culture, a lot of the tradition of the elders. And he was lost. But all of that changed when he trusted Christ. We looked at that last time. He discovered that his self-righteousness was not righteousness at all. Because we can't be righteous, can we? We're unrighteous. We're in darkness. We're that way because of birth and by choice. And so our righteousness that we can try to work before the Lord won't be enough. It won't be sufficient. The things that he had thought most important, he found were really not important at all. And that the things that really were important, Christ could provide them freely. He had tried to work for them, but Christ gave them to him freely. I want to give a little illustration before we continue. Scientists now say that the sinking of the Titanic is not what they first thought. That was back in 1912. 1,500 people died in that wreckage. You know, the theory has always been they struck an iceberg and it ripped a big gash down the side of the ship. Well, in recent years, technology has enabled them to go under those, about 2 miles deep in water, take machinery down there. And they actually do ultrasound. They use sound waves to examine the wreckage that's now, a lot of it, under the seafloor a little bit, sunken into the seafloor. And they have discovered that the damage on the side is not near what they thought it was. There were 6 watertight compartments. They thought a big gash in the front of the... But they found that there's a little slit in each of the watertight compartments, just a little slit. You say, how small? In that 900-foot ship, the little slit would be, the whole thing would be about that big square. If you put all of the opening, it would be about that big square, about 4 feet square. And that sunk that ship in so many hours. Now, I use that illustration tonight. When Paul got saved, there were some major changes that took place in his life. We talked about that before. Self-righteousness became imputed righteousness, given to him by the Lord. He wore the righteousness of Christ. He had a zeal for religion before he got saved, but when he got saved, he had a zeal for the Lord. He persecuted the church before salvation. He preached to the church after. He walked in darkness, then he walked in light. But there were also a great number of perhaps less noticeable differences in the Apostle Paul. We talked about some of those less noticeable differences that took place, and I'll bring the Titanic illustration here in just a minute into this. We talked about how he struggled in his nature, inside between two natures. Do you remember that? Romans chapter 7. He struggled between two natures. He wanted to do this, but he found himself doing that. He didn't want to do that, but he found himself doing it anyway. But Paul rejoiced over God's provision for victory in the new nature. That's a little difference, isn't it? It's not something you would see necessarily. It's something in his... He rejoiced in God's provision. I can beat this sinful nature of mine. I can have victory over this, he thought. He had that because of Christ. His salvation gave him that victory. And he rejoiced. Even though he had the two natures, he saw that conflict. He rejoiced in God's provision to have victory in that new nature. A little difference. He also, we said last time, he accepted the responsibility of an undesirable task. Who would want to go out? What Jew would want to go out and preach to the dogs, the Gentiles? But that was Paul's lot. That's what God said, I want you to do. And he sent him as a missionary, him and a few others, missionaries to the Gentile population in the Roman world. So he accepted the responsibility. He was willing to do things that were not the most desirable. That's a difference that Christ brought in his life. He was willing to exercise his spiritual gifts for the cause of Christ and for the edifying of Christ's church. You see, these are little changes. I say little. They're not so small either, are they? They're big changes on the inside, but you wouldn't notice them. You maybe wouldn't be able to just enumerate them by watching the Apostle Paul. They're changes on the inside. Neglect of these little less noticeable changes that come to those who place their trust in Christ are like the little slits in the side of the Titanic. They'll make us spiritual Christian shipwrecks. I'm going to say that again. Neglect of the little differences on the inside, the little nuances of Christianity. Neglect of those things in our hearts and in our inner being will sink our ship spiritually. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to give attention to that. We need to rejoice in God's provision for us to have victory over the flesh. We need to rejoice. We need to not forget that. We have victory. I don't have to do this anymore. Men, that means for lusts. We don't have to do that. We don't have to go there in our thought life. God's given provision in our worldliness, our love for things, our love to be entertained, our love for relaxation, our love for leisure. Whatever it might be, God's made provision so we can have victory over those things that we know are detrimental, literally detrimental. We don't need to let that go. Be thankful that God's given you that. Hang on to that. We need to accept the responsibility to do things that are not so desirable. The less desirable task. Maybe God wants you to do that. Maybe God wants me to do. Am I too good to do anything for the Lord? No, whatever he asks. I mean, who am I? Who are we that we would say no to the Lord if he asked us to clean the bathrooms or if he asked us to shovel the snow or hang the curtains or whatever, clean out the baptistry or talk to that undesirable neighbor? If we get lax in the little things, the little differences that Christ has made in our life, we'll be spiritual shipwrecks. In 1 Timothy, you don't need to turn there, chapter 1, verse 18. He actually mentions shipwreck. That's what made me think of these verses. 1 Timothy 1, 18 to 20. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Putting away, in this case, holding faith and a good conscience. Some have let those things go, and now they're spiritual shipwrecks. In other words, everything that you understand that Jesus Christ died to give to you, you need to think it's important. But we have a tendency to have things to take precedence over that. Precedence over church, precedence over prayer, precedence over witnessing when we go. When we go down to Bangor, you know, I don't get down here much. I'm going to do what I want to do. No, you do what the Lord wants you to do when you go down to Bangor or wherever you go. We continue tonight with the examination of Paul's life, looking for particularly, not those giant things that everybody had, but the little nuances, little differences that our Christianity makes in our life. And we want to look, first of all, I had you go to Philippians. Go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. Romans 1:14. Now, we can't neglect the big things either, can we? They'll sink our ship right quickly. But I want you to know, a little hole will founder you spiritually. You got to give attention to the little things. And we're looking at some of the little things, some more of the little things. A couple of scriptures here that show us that Paul had a servant's heart. How do you feel about yourself? Are you a big shot in your own eyes? You wouldn't raise your hand. You would say, no, I'm not a big shot. But, I mean, really, between you and God, how do you feel compared to everybody else? Paul said, I'm a debtor, verse 14, Romans 1:14. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I am a debtor. A debtor. I owe them something. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:19. 1 Corinthians 9:19. There are a lot of verses in Paul's writings where we can catch a glimpse of his servant's heart. 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Look down at verse 22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. That's a servant's heart, isn't it? I just want to not fit into the worldliness. We're not saying that, but be able to relate to the people. Can you talk to somebody who's dirty? Somebody who's not in your social strata. You know, can you talk to somebody who you would say they're in the upper social strata? They're a little bit, you know, they don't understand how it is for us underlings. You know the kind of people I'm talking. Can you talk to people that are not like, can you talk to the blacks and to the orientals? Can you talk to different types of people, people in different people groups? How do you do it talking to children? Paul felt like I'm a servant to that little child. I owe them something. I owe them something. He had that perspective of himself. Folks, if we start thinking we're something, if we start thinking we're somebody, our boat's going down spiritually. What would we call that? Pride. It's just pride. And pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. This is one of those ways that God in his ways of God, I should say, that are totally different from the ways of men. Man would say that the way to the top is to collect the most money, have the strongest personality, the most education, a position of authority, the gift of gab, the ability to assert yourself, and on and on and on it goes. You know, God says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall be chief among you, he told his disciples, let him be your servant. You want to go to the top, humble yourself. God will exalt you. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's verse 6. God will exalt you if you'll just humble yourself. Paul understood. We used to live in Pennsylvania, and we were just a few miles from Hershey. Hershey, Pennsylvania was that town that was established by Milton Hershey. You may have read his story. He was looking for a steward of his finances, a finance man, and he was having people, this is many years ago, had some people come, and he said, I have something I want you to do for me first before we talk. He said, there's that stack of bricks. Would you mind moving that over there? And they got done moving it, and he said, you know, that's not good either. Let's put it over here. And he had this man move the bricks three times. And the man never opened his mouth to complain. He just did exactly, and Hershey hired him without an interview. He's exactly what I want. Somebody who can just be a humble servant type attitude. We need to be humble servants of the Lord, who will humbly do the work of Christ, which often means a willingness to serve others. I sense among Christians today, and I have for many years, probably you have too, there's not that servant's heart. We like to think we've arrived, we've come up that ladder a little bit, and I'm in the leadership. But that's not good, is it? We're all servants of Christ. Paul understood that. Now that's a little thing. I'm calling it a little thing. But if we neglect this little thing, then we're going to go down spiritually. We're going to be less useful to the Lord, less blessed of the Lord. Paul walked by faith. Walked by faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, that you're all very familiar with, it says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Everything that God has to do with man is accessed, is realized, is implemented, is enjoyed, is utilized by our faith. Faith makes it work. I really wish we could wrap our minds around that. Faith makes it work. You know God only by faith because you've never seen him. You know where you came from only by faith, because you weren't there. You know why you're here and where you're going only by faith. You know that God hears and answers your prayers, but you know that by faith. You just have to believe it, because you don't see. There's nothing to see with our senses, nothing to pick up with our senses. You know that you'll have your needs met, don't you? But it's by faith. You can have the peace of God by having faith. The peace of God which passes all understanding. You can have purpose in life by faith. You can bring others to Christ if you exercise your faith. Everything that God wants to do, everything's utilized, is accessed, is enjoyed, implemented by faith. It starts with the most basic things. This verse says, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is God." That he is. You can't see him, you can't taste him, you can't touch him, you can't smell him, you can't hear him. But he's there, isn't he? Are you sure? See, we got a starting faith then. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Receiving God's blessing also requires faith, according to this verse. If you will take the first step of faith and then don't stop there, Paul told his churches, don't stop, just continue in your faith. There's a lot more to believe God for. I just started reading another biography about Hudson Taylor and his wife Maria. And every time I think of Hudson Taylor, I'm blessed. If you haven't read the biography, there's a big 2-volume set. It'll bless your heart, make you cry and laugh. And there's a lot of lesser reads that would do the same. A man of faith, a man who loved God and believed everything God said. He lived and walked by faith. He had some missionary income coming from an organization, an agency. But he gave it up. He wanted God to do it. He didn't want to depend on the agency. And there are others who did the same thing. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Paul understood that. And that's why he wrote, "We walk by faith, not by sight." By faith we walk. I like to say it like that. By faith we walk. We go somewhere by faith. Without faith we don't go anywhere, spiritually speaking. Are you a man, a woman of faith? If not, then don't look to go anywhere. You're going to founder in the water. And your ship's going to sink without faith. Spiritually, you won't stay the same forever. There's a small slit in your hull. Paul understood, and he wrote, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Paul's a great example to us, too, in his faith. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 21, I'll let you turn there. I'm going to read several verses. Acts 27 and verse 21. "But after long abstinence, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete.'" Do you know the story? He's on a ship going across the Mediterranean. He's on his way to where? He's going to Rome. He's going to Rome because he appealed to Caesar. In the last part of verse 21, "and to have gained this harm and loss." "You should have listened to me so this wouldn't have happened," he said. I think that's sort of a spiritual "I told you so." Verse 22 says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." Now they're in the midst of this storm, and he says, you know, cheer up, guys. It's okay. "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship." The ship's going down, but we're going to live. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." What are the next four words? "I believe God." Cheer up. God said we'll be all right, and I believe him. He was a man of faith. Changed everything. Paul was able to eat. Told them to eat. "For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Now, granted, an angel talked to him. I would love to have an angel come and talk to me tonight, wouldn't you? That would be nice. But still, he believed whatever God told him. There are a lot of other illustrations. Do you remember when he was shipwrecked after this? On the island, and what happened when they were building the fire? He got bit by a serpent, shook it off in the fire. The natives there thought he's a dead man, but he didn't die, so what did they think? Thought he was a god. But Paul was a man of faith. He wasn't worried about a snake bite. No little serpent's going to keep him from going to Rome because God said he's going. Isn't that great faith? That's great faith. So seldom do we have to trust God in such threatening circumstances as Paul did. But we have to start with some little things like our checkbook or our health. Have you learned that God gives you the air that you breathe? Our happiness. To have faith will bring these things. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You believe it? Then trust in the Lord. And don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. You can't always. You don't know how it's going to happen. That's what Solomon said in all of his wisdom. Remember? You don't know what's going to happen. If any man lacks wisdom, what does he need to do? Ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and it braideth not, and it shall be given him. James 1:5. Do you believe that? Do you believe God will give you wisdom if you ask? He said he would. So if we don't walk by faith, what are we walking by?
Sight.
We're walking according to what we can see. And I can see right here about 25 feet. But where can God see? He sees everything. Be better to not lean on my own understanding. Be better to walk by faith. It's a little thing, but I'll tell you what, if we won't walk by faith, we're not going to go anywhere. If you won't believe God, you're not going to go anywhere spiritually. So now we have six things, if you've listed them. This is from the last time too. He struggled with two natures, but he rejoiced in God's provision for victory over the old nature with the new. You need to do that too, regularly. Secondly, he accepted the responsibilities of an undesirable task. You need to do that too. God might have something for you to do that's dirty. God might have something for you to do that you feel like you can't do. As a matter of fact, I can just guarantee you that. God's going to ask you to do something you think, oh, that's out of my box. That's out of my league. Number three, you need to be willing to exercise your spiritual gift. To do what you can do for the Lord, to say it in another way. Do what you can do for the Lord. Number four, you need to have a servant's heart. Number five, be content in affliction. Did I even say that one? I didn't even say that. I'll do that next week. Number five, walk by faith. Walk by faith. You got it?
Yes.
These are little things, right? This is not like the imputed righteousness of Christ. They're not the things that, you know, the Bible says, and they're big, but the little things, the little differences that the Lord makes in our life can be like it, to neglect them is to slit the hole in the side of the Titanic. It's going down. Now, one little slit wouldn't sink the Titanic, would it? It would take more. But you start adding those little issues together, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You put all of those little slits together, you put the volume of all of those together, and you got a gaping hole. And it'll sink you as a Christian. If you want to be something, give attention to the little things. Give attention to the little differences that the Lord makes in your life. Now, I'm going to do this one more week. Next Wednesday, Lord willing, we'll finish this up. But I want you to think about it. You've got a list of five things, and we'll cover the others next Wednesday.